Extra time.
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. It's me, one of your hosts, Patrick Van Straten, and today I'm joined by Sam Abasaki. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm very, very well, brother. What happened to the intro? Like, you know, those few words that you normally say beforehand that gets me pumped. You know, it's just something nice.
Well, you were talking such nonsense off camera that you've been downgraded from like podcast icon, like valued contributor to just like Sam. Sam's also here. We're moving on. Okay. Like, how long do you want this intro to be, Sam?
It's fine. Go on to the next guy.
Sam, I've missed you very much. I'm very glad you're here. Like, you're always good value on the pod. And right, okay. Was that plausible?
Thank you. We can always put an edit point
in there if that didn't sound realistic. Let's move on to our other contributor today. It's Henry Hill, a podcast legend, really. Like, probably one of the outstanding voices in podcasting today across the world.
We won't go that far.
Henry, how are you?
Yeah, I'm not sure the comments of extra time in your absence would agree with that sentiment, Pat, but I appreciate it. It's nice to be not having to host this thing, and it's nice to be back with you, Pat. That's the one big takeaway from this so far. It's nice to see you again, I must say.
Henry, what's going on, bro? Don't try and flip it now, because I'm like one of your best friends at FD, so don't try and act now. For the podcast.
Are you one of my best colleagues, though? Ooh, that's the difference.
Yeah, that's a really important distinction, Sam.
Socialism versus professionalism here. And this is where Pat really comes into his own, I think. So, always nice to see you both. Always a fun podcast with us three, I think.
But yeah, I think so as well. Like, Sam, you're so easily rattled.
I think I actually am, and I think because I don't actually get to see you or feel your energy. It's just on this Zoom stuff. Yeah, when we get back into the studio, it might be a little bit different. But sometimes the connection lags out. I can't reply in time, so it just messes everything up.
So you, when the connection drops, you think that I'm like genuinely trying to upset you, as opposed to just like ribbing you this time. This is the day where I finally turned on you.
exactly. But I know you mean well. I know you really love me, and I'm one of your favorites at FD, if not your favorite, like, overall. And it's don't do that, because you know,
let's pump the brakes a little bit there. But
but Pat doesn't have favorites at FD, let's be real.
that's true.
I have least favorites. Like, I think I've been very clear on that from the start.
Your category is like tolerable and just absolute hatred. Like, there's no in between.
All I'm saying, guys, is that, like, coming on the podcast with me, traditionally, bit of a kiss of death. Like, Olivia, Dorman, both gone. Sunny, first podcast, straight out the door. Like, so if either of you is looking for a career change in the near future, like, just keep coming back every week, and I'm sure that you'll be onto pastures new before too long.
Honestly, I might take you up on that, Pat.
Oh, good news. Well, this is actually a great segue, because today we're talking about a player who might be considering pastures new. We are talking about Raheem Sterling. By the way, I can't believe that in this day and age, there are still people who say Raheem Sterling like that every time. Like, every time I see him play, there's always a commentator who says Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, because they love putting the extension on his, like, bro, it's Raheem, isn't it? Just say Raheem.
It's so much easier to just say his name like that. But anyway, Raheem Sterling apparently is unhappy at Manchester City. And today we're going to talk about just how good Raheem Sterling is, where he might find a better home for him than Man City, and what exactly is not working out for him at the moment. So obviously, in the summer, City go out and splash 100 mil on Jack Grealish. That means Jack Grealish is going to play. But Sterling might have expected to maybe be shifted over to the right wing, and it just hasn't worked out that way. Like, early days this season, but Bernardo Silva's been used there, Gabby Jesus has been used there, Phil Foden, Riyad Mahrez. And so while Sterling is one of just two City players to have appeared in all of their league fixtures so far, he's only started three. So, guys, let's just start with this. I'd like to get your opinion on what City's best 11 is, or rather, whether Sterling is in City's best 11 at this point. Henry, I'm going to come to you. How do you feel about this? Because I know that, like, Sterling's one of those guys who it's really hard sometimes to, like, figure out, like, would he be a superstar in a worse side? Or is a lot of this, you know, like, the Pep effect? I never quite know.
I think it's sort of... It's amazing how this question kind of comes around every single season. It'll go through negative periods and positive periods and negative periods. Even, let's not forget, before the Euros, everyone was questioning whether or not he was up to it at the Euros. And then all of a sudden, he goes out and performs incredibly for England as well. Sorry, just in our work call, Sam's joined about three times. I've got three different Sam heads floating around in our...
Listen,
in our,
that's what I mean about the connection. The connection is mad, innit? Like, and that's what I'm just... Like, I don't even know what's happened in the last 5 minutes.
Honestly, Sam's like Agent Smith in The Matrix, where he's just like copying himself. Like.
Honestly, FT audience, if you thought one Nobuseki was too much, imagine getting three of Asuki just flip dangerous territory. Anyway, back to Raheem Sterling. I still think he obviously has a bigger part to play. I prefer him to players like Mahrez. I think he's got more experience than people like Ferran Torres. But I do think that he should make, if he's serious about what he's suggesting, that he wants to move away, I do think he maybe should. I would like to see him be the main man. I think that's why he was so good for England to an extent, is because he is the main man. When Harry Kane wasn't sort of firing as so much at the start of the Euros, Sterling really stepped up. What's he scored, like 16 goals in his last 30 games for England? Sort of come more in line with having gone like 45 and only scoring two. I think he's really sort of drawn it all back together. But I mean, there will always be sort of little question marks over him. I often wonder how much Guardiola really rates him. Obviously, he plays him in the big games. What I was reading is apparently Guardiola loves the fact that even when he's not... him and Bernardo Silva are the two players that when they're being sort of not getting the game time they want, they don't, and maybe they're unhappy, they still try really, really hard. And apparently Guardiola really respects that, which isn't, I don't think, necessarily the same for some of the other players. Mm. Like I said, I'd have him over Mahrez, but I'd like to see him move. I think it'd be really interesting for him to go to a PSG, to go to a Real Madrid right now, to go to a Barcelona in particular, where he could really be the star. I'd love to see that happen. I just think we're going to be in this cyclical process of discussing his place at Manchester City every year. And I think maybe... He's got nothing much else to prove there other than winning the Champions League. I think maybe it could be time for a clean break, in all honesty.
Interesting. Mm. I mean, like, Sam, Henry's touched on it there, but obviously, like, the part of this talk has been sparked by the fact that Sterling himself has said, I've always been interested in playing abroad.
Yeah.
And there are rumours that Real Madrid, Barcelona, PSG, as Henry says, like, are interested. There are even rumours that he could go to Barcelona on loan in January. Now, I don't really see that happening, but his contract is up in 2023. So this is not a decision that City can afford to just, like, you know, put to one side. They've got to really figure out whether they're going to sell him in January or next summer, or try and sign him up to a new deal. What do you think? Do you think he should leave? Do you think he will leave? And if so, where do you think he could end up?
I don't think he should leave.
Mm-hmm.
Will he leave? I think he could, if there's no promises on playing time, if City... Sure. Don't necessarily, because I know that they were interested in getting rid of Bernardo Silva in the summer, and I don't think they had any like solid takers, and now we've seen like he's upturning form, so he's probably not going to be going out the door now. But I think it's a really strange one for Sterling, because I feel like everyone can see the qualities that he has. Like, his numbers are incredible, they've been incredible since he's been at City, even when he was at Liverpool. But there's always something with Pep, like maybe the missed opportunities, that the missed chances that he's missed during his tenure under Pep. Maybe it's the fact that, like, I don't even know, because it just seems like his personality seems perfect. Henry just said there that Pep's a fan of his mentality, even if he's not getting minutes. But to bring in a Grealish, who I thought originally was going to play in as a new number eight, you know, as one of the three, and be a bit more progressive, have play those passes through the lines that they kind of missed to a certain extent if Bernardo Silva is not playing in the middle and when De Bruyne gets injured. But now he's playing out wide. I don't understand what he has over Sterling. Like, I know that I know that he's starting out. I know that Grealish is starting out, and it's a new team. We've seen the qualities that he's had at Aston Villa. I think he's got a few goals, a few assists for City right now, but I've not seen any signing at City get the same amount of chances that Grealish has had. That might be down to his the price tag, it might be down to his personality and energy and training. But to just like now kind of cut off Sterling and say that, you know, you're going to have to wait for an opportunity to play when he's a senior world-class winger. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not just the fact that he's just making noise for the sake of it. When he plays, you see what he does for City. So if I was him, I'd be upset at my situation and I'd be open to a move. But the thing is with the move now, go on.
You don't think that Grealish has done enough to maybe lock down that position as yet?
No.
Because, like, if you look at his numbers, I know numbers aren't everything, but they are pretty insane. Like, his first for progressive carries, fourth most key passes in the Premier League, like, seventh most passes in the penalty area, fifth most shot-creating actions. Like, although the final product, I think, that's maybe due to the fact that there isn't maybe a natural striker in that City forward line at the moment. And actually, Sterling tried to play as, like, a false nine at the weekend against Burnley and was pretty poor, in all honesty. Didn't really justify necessarily playing as long as he did. Like, I don't think you can say Grealish isn't like the right man at the moment in that system. He's something a little bit different. And when City do go out and get a number nine, which they will do at some point, then that's when he's really going to come into his own. So I don't think blooding him into the team in the way they're doing at the moment is a bad thing. I think, like you said, Sterling's had a lot of opportunities and his numbers getting less and less every year.
What I will say about Grealish, can I just jump in on the Grealish thing?
Yeah.
Like, he has been great in moments this season, but I do think his numbers have been boosted a little bit by there was that Arsenal game. Like, I remember in that Arsenal game, like, I literally forgot that Grealish was paying, like, until we got a man sent off. And then when we got a man sent off, suddenly Grealish was, like, everywhere. And I remember the commentators were like, Grealish has been unplayable today. And I was like, he was actually, like, pretty playable. Like, 11 versus 11. Like, but then when we went down to 10 men, like, obviously he was just, like, bursting into the box and absolutely skinning people. And I do think those things are enough to, like, really, like, skew your numbers. And when you look at goals and assists, what has he got? I think he's got 2 goals and assists so far this season.
Goals, 2 goals, like, assists, yeah.
Gabby Jesus has got, like, 2 goals, 4 assists, man. Like, I mean... Like, don't get me wrong, like, I wouldn't say, like, Grealish deserves to be dropped, but at Man City, that's not the question, right? The question is, do you deserve that place over many other international caliber players?
Exactly.
And I think Sam's kind of right that, like, Grealish doesn't unequivocally deserve that spot. Like, he might deserve that spot, but, like, I wouldn't say it's, like, a straightforward matter.
And I also think that because their ages are quite similar, Pep just needs to be wary of, like, he's going to ruffle feathers regardless because they've got such star quality in those positions, yeah. But a player like Sterling that is a fan favourite, you know, he's a part of the City culture in recent years. I'd put him on levels with, like, the KDBs and the Fernandinho's a bit further up because he's played much longer. But he's, like, the new gen of legends. Like, when he leaves City, he will be seen as a legend, you know what I mean? But if they let go of him now, I think that they would regret it because we've seen Sterling for England. We've seen Sterling when he's playing with that freedom, with that fire. Like, he can really be the man that you can rely on in every single game. I'm not saying Grealish can't because he's shown that quality for Villa and he's shown glimpses of it at City. And I understand that because he is that 100 mil signing, he might get more opportunities that other players that they haven't yet. But when Mahrez came into the City side, he was quality, but they had to embed him for, like, the next 2 to 3 months. He was only starting, I think, 3 months after he'd signed. Same with all of the other wide men. It's like they get embedded in, but with Grealish, for some reason, don't know what it is. I'm not saying he's not quality, but I just think that with some of the performances that I've seen from him and even some of the games that he's continued on when he's not playing well, like, put Sterling there. You're not losing anything in the quality. You're not losing someone that can't dribble or find a pass in the final third or can't score. We've all seen that before. And if it means that you're going to, you know, pin him down to another contract because of that, then I think it's worth it. But if he's not feeling that way by January, I don't necessarily think he'll leave because January is just a bit of a weird window. And I think Barcelona would be the only place that would be really, like, looking to sign someone then or have someone on loan. I think he would see the season out, but I actually don't know where he would go. Like, I don't know where he'd go.
Can I just say, like, I was also reading how Sterling, apparently every year Manchester City vote on their captains, their club captains, whatnot.
Yeah.
And he used to be part of the leadership group, and he's been like voted out of the leadership group. It's not. It's like Ruben Dias has obviously taken his place. Even Kyle Walker is ahead of him. Ilkay Gundogan as well. It's not just. I'm not saying that the players have anything against him, but he's not even in like the senior group of players at that club now that get together and meet up because he's been voted out of that.
Maybe you don't want to be a part of that.
I don't think that's how it works. Sorry, go on, Pat.
No, I was going to say, like, is it him being voted out so much as it was Ruben Dias being voted in?
Voted in, exactly.
A really great season last year. Tell me where you're going with it, because, like, you know.
Well, he's very much is one of the senior players, as Sam has like alluded to. He's been in and around the scene for a long time. I respect that even like KDB wasn't part of like the top three of that vote, but like I think it is telling if he was as kind of vital to that squad as possible. I think Kyle Walker, players like him, wouldn't be voted ahead of him. I feel like obviously Raheem is quite a big figure for club and country in terms of personality as well, like progressivism on and off the pitch. But I wonder if his influence within that Manchester City side is waning, and I still stand by it. I think in a side which is lacking like a natural number nine or number 10 at the moment, Grealish is, in terms of his like all-round passing game, is perhaps maybe a little bit more suited onto that wing, because Sterling is at his best when he's arriving on to finish chances in the box.
That's what everyone thinks now, because suddenly that's what Pep's turned him into. But the reality is, he can take people on. We've seen him.
But so can Grealish.
Sam, like Henry is kind of right though. As in, if you want a creator, you have Grealish. Whereas Sterling is much more in the. He can create a bit, but he's much more in the goal scoring mode of winger, right? Like, he can dribble as well, but like they can both dribble. Like Grealish dribbles and passes, Sterling dribbles and shoots. That's how I differentiate them.
So I hear that. But out of all the wide men that City have here, I'd say they have maybe what, two world class wide men. I'd say Mahrez is world class, and I'd say Sterling. Yeah, everyone else is Silva. I think he's in and around that conversation. But with the Grealishes and Fodens, they're en route. Like, do you know what I mean? They're top class players. But to lose someone like Sterling because you're not giving him the opportunities that I'd say he deserves. I wouldn't say that he's done anything terrible. I don't think any forward in that City front line has done anything extra ordinary that they deserve to be starting every single week, except from Silva and Jesus to a certain extent, because they've showed consistent form over this season. But everyone else, I don't think that they should be a mainstay. And I think that might be his problem. He's seeing players on the pitch. They've won games comfortably. They've had tough games. And in those tough games, players like Grealish, players like Jesus, for example, may not be having the greatest of games. And he's thinking, why am I not getting an opportunity to show what I've been showing over these years?
Pat, just having... Guardiola doesn't promise people game time. Apparently, mm-hmm. That's just one of the things. He doesn't... Obviously, we're talking about Grealish, but it's not a case that if they negotiated his contract, they'd say, we're going to guarantee you game time. I don't think that's how Guardiola works at all. Like, on that basis, like, I mean, like, what do you think about the situation?
I mean, personally, I would probably find a home for Sterling. Like, it felt like over the last few years, like Pep, or rather in the early days of his time at Man City, it felt like Pep kind of saw Sterling as turning into more of a striker. Like, the things he was asking him to do were more striker type, and it kind of feels like there should be a natural home for him this season. Like, they don't have a centre forward there. He wants to play Jesus wide. I don't believe that Ferran Torres is better than Sterling, certainly. I'm not even sure if he's better at that role than Sterling. So it seems to me like if I were picking the side this season, I would be deploying Sterling as a centre forward. Not necessarily as a false nine, just like maybe as a striker, and just see how that works. But I don't know, like... This isn't a really serious concern because he is only 26, but he's been playing for a long time, you know. He was playing senior football when he was 17, 18. And Henry, what you said before about his numbers getting worse, like, they really have. Like, in 17, 18, it was 29 goals and assists in 29 starts in the league. Year after that, 27 and 31. Year after that, 21 and 30. Last year, 17 and 28. And that's his worst return, like, since his first year at Manchester City. you know, before Pep arrived. Like that is, and that was in a season they won the title. Mm. Yes, they were a little bit less expansive in attack than they have been previously, but I don't know. That was strange to me. And he only got 3 goal involvements in the Champions League as well, down from 9 the previous year. Like something is a little bit different there, a little bit off there. And if you were going to sell him, it wouldn't be the worst time to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I just think my only argument is the people that you're putting in front of him aren't necessarily... There's a few figures that Henry said earlier about his dribbling, Grealish's dribbling and his ball progression and stuff like that. But I don't think it's extremely better than what Sterling can offer. So if you're going to lose a player because you're giving someone like Grealish or a Torres or a Foden more game time, I think they just need to think about it. I think Pep needs to think about it a little bit more. Like, you always need senior players in every position. And I think if they lost a Sterling, I think that would be a big hit for them. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, I agree. I think it would drastically affect their depth. And I still wouldn't be surprised if, like, we get to January time or City have a couple of injuries and suddenly Sterling is, like, a really important starter for them again. Like, that would not be unheard of. I still think that the centre forward hole this season is probably his best shot at being a consistent starter for this side. So, okay, I mean, we've got some different opinions about Sterling generally, but I think we all agree that he's good enough to be starting somewhere. If you could pick where he is, let's say in February, is he at Man City? And this is assuming that, you know, like, he might still be in the same situation. I'm not saying, like, you can just guarantee him starting minutes. Is he at Man City or is he somewhere else? And if he's somewhere else, where is he? Because we've talked a bit about Barcelona. I personally don't really think that makes sense. Like, same. I guess he could play on the right there, but, like, I feel like Barcelona have a ton of guys who kind of want to do what Sterling wants to do.
None of them are as good as Sterling.
No, yeah. I agree, but I don't think that it's like, I don't know, he's 26, I guess, and he is fast, but, like, I feel like you've got Fatty who they think of in a similar way to Sterling. Like, I don't think he profiles that differently from Sterling. If I were them, I'd be looking for, like, a sort of lights out creator off the right, but I don't know, like, sure, obviously if they sign Sterling, they're gonna get a lot better. Like, I'm not gonna disagree with that. But I think it would make a lot more sense if, say, PSG lost Mbappe, that they would get Sterling. That would make more sense to me.
That would make sense. And also, if Real Madrid do sell Hazard, that could be an interesting move for him as well. But I don't know. Seeing Sterling, I feel like he's said a few things in interviews to say that he's open to it, to see what City are saying and how quick they're going to manoeuvre to give him a new contract or make him certain promises. I don't think he necessarily wants to be promised, like, game time, like, I'm going to be starting every week. He just wants more of a prominent role, like, to feel more included. Because, like, we've seen in recent seasons, he's been important for Pep. He started all the important games. He's playing week in, week out. And now that he's not doing that, it's obviously going to affect him. And the fact that his contract is running out, it's going to be a time for him to start questioning these things. And I think he's proven that he would rather stay at City because the project suits him. The way they play suits him. He scores goals, but it's just a game time now. So if I was him, I would stay at City if they can give him those promises. If not, then maybe if PSG are open to selling Mbappe, which they're going to have to anyway. I think that would be very interesting.
Okay, well, Henry, what about you? Because of course there was the rumor as well that, like, that Liverpool could be interested in taking him back, and that would be quite kind of interesting, right? Like, he's a few years younger than Mane. Like, you could imagine him slotting into that Mane role, like, quite well.
I just don't think in a day and age there's a world where those two clubs deal.
No.
When City stole Mahrez, that was so kind of, not Mahrez, sorry, Sterling in the first place, that was so kind of dramatic. And I just think at a point the margins are so fine between those two clubs. I cannot see a player in the sort of the prime that someone like Sterling is in possibly doing that. I think if it became clear that City were going to sell him, And they do everything to find a foreign buyer. I don't think there's a chance they'd sell him to a Premier League rival, so I don't think it's necessarily even worth considering. Obviously, he'd be great there. He'd fit in really well, but I don't think... I'd be shocked if he went back to Liverpool. I don't think the Liverpool fans would be all too keen to see it either, necessarily.
Okay. Right, well, we'll leave Raheem Sterling then, but we've actually got a little trip to Anfield up next, because I wanted to talk about Mo Salah's new contract. Now, obviously...
Best player in the world right now.
Let's calm down a little bit. Mo Salah's contract is up in 2023, and this week it's been reported that Liverpool are debating a new deal for the Egyptian, which would lock him down until 2026. Apparently, he wants $400k a week to commit his future to the Reds. That would cost about £82 million across the life of the deal. I'm intrigued to see what you guys think about this, because I have some thoughts. Obviously, world-class player. You know, Sam, as usual, hyperbolic, but like not necessarily wrong. Not necessarily wrong. Like, he's the best player in the Premier League. That's for sure. What would you do, Sam? You said give it to him. You're going to give him this contract.
You have to.
Until he's 34.
You
400k.
400k a week till he's 34 years old.
400k, because it doesn't look like he's slowing down. Like,
he's 29. It's five years away.
I can understand that and I can appreciate that, yeah. But at the same time, I feel like the new gen of footballers, especially in and around their late 20s, they're taking much more care of their bodies. We've seen it with Ronaldo. We've seen it with Messi, Lewandowski. These players are taking much more care of their bodies. And the fact that he's still performing at this level right now, I don't think that would be such a mad investment to almost maintain the level Liverpool want to stay at. Because if they lose Salah now, they're taking a step back. Then they're going to have to reinvest in someone that is going to fill that gap, which is such a huge gap, not just in terms of numbers, but in terms of like the fans being so heavily invested in a forward player. You haven't seen this type of energy for a forward at Liverpool for years. Like, do you know what I mean? He's really, like, when I speak to a Liverpool fan about Salah, like, they really love that man. Like, a lot of them changing their names and avis and that on social media, and rightly so, because he's genuinely so good. He's average of 32 goals and assists in the league each year since he's been at Liverpool. Like, that's crazy. And if he even drops off a little bit and we say, oh, he's getting older, he's not going to be able to perform to 30 to 35 goals a season, what, 20 to 25 isn't that bad? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's not crazy. That's not a crazy thing. So I think they need to lock him in, sort him out, everything that he wants.
Yeah, I don't like this.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Go on, Henry.
Liverpool have a wage structure which he's not just like breaking, he's shattering their wage structure if they agree to do this. Like, the ramifications could be massive for this.
Is it not worth it, though?
Is it worth it? Salah is incredible. I you know what, like, Raheem Sterling, you wonder some from time to time, you have that odd moment of doubt. I don't think that doubt exists with Salah. Like, his everything that he did in their sort of against Watford last week, and I'm not taking Watford as like a highly credible candidate, but like, even that assist for the opening goal and his finishing, everything he's doing on a week by week basis is awesome at the moment. But 400k per week, and you know, Liverpool, I think he owes as much to Liverpool as Liverpool owes to him to an extent. You know, they've taken a chance on him, they've gone through this incredible journey together. I'm amazed that he wants that.
Don't do that, man. What do you think this is?
400.
Like, you're seeing men like Pogba demanding that price. You're seeing David De Gea at other clubs. What is he on? 350? Salah is literally, even if you don't believe he's the best player in the world, he's the best player in the Premier League right now. And he's been in that conversation for the last 4 years.
Well, you think he's just flat out better than De Bruyne or anything like that?
And also, Sam, De Gea extracted like that huge salary when he was at his peak and he was in his late 20s as a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Like, Salah wants to sign this contract now when he's 29. And look, you know, the great thing about Salah being as fast and as strong as he is that we often talk about players losing a step, but if he loses a step, he'll probably still be quite fast. You know, like, because he is so extreme in that regard. But you also said, like, oh, well, if they lose him now, but no, there's no chance of them losing him now.
Yeah.
Like, he's, oh, yeah, his contract runs for another 2 years. So yeah. If they just let him, let his contract run down and he leaves at 31, yes, that might be a year or even 2 years earlier than they'd like. But the alternative is signing him up until he's 34 and potentially having him on that deal for 3 or 4 years longer than they'd like at 400K a week. And let's be honest, look, this is happening at a much higher level. You know, like, this is a better club and a better player. But this is kind of what Arsenal did with, like, Aubameyang. Like, this is kind of like, or with Ozil. Like, this is how you end up, like, locked into a contract, like, that prevents you going and signing somebody else in that position, because you gave somebody a contract based on how they're performing now and how they've performed in the past. What you should give somebody a contract based on is how you expect them to perform in the future.
Can I just add to what Pat said? Like, I feel like when Arsenal handed those big contracts, these were in difficult moments for them where they felt like they needed to make a statement by, here, yes, look what we can do. We can lock down our very best player by paying him the very highest wages. With Liverpool, I don't think it'll be easier for Liverpool to find a replacement. Maybe not just one-off player, but it'll be easier for Liverpool. Like, they've still got a great squad. They've still got some unbelievable players in those positions. Mm. So they would use the money, I'd say, perhaps in a better way than perhaps Arsenal ever could in that situation. Yeah. I don't think there's not the desperation and the need to sort of bow down and give him 400K, no matter how good he is. Like, you have to look at this from a business perspective at some point. Longevity. Liverpool have been pretty smart with their transfer business in recent years, locking down new players on new contracts at the moment. To go and shatter that for such a long-term deal, no matter how good it is, I don't think it's the most sensible idea. And I hope they can find a middle ground. I hope they can find a solution to this.
But what is the middle ground, though? What type of middle ground can you find here? He wants 400K and he wants his future to be 30.
So who else is definitely going to...
A shorter extension would be a way to do it. Like, if they just extended his contract by, like, a year and gave themselves an option for another one after that, that would kind of make more sense to me.
But he wouldn't sign that, though. He wouldn't sign that.
Well, then he can fucking leave. Like, if you're going
to... No, but that's what I'm saying.
No, paying him an extra 400K a week, like, well, then he'll be leaving in 2 years. Like, okay, Sam, you're saying like, he wouldn't sign that. But that's based on how good he is now, where he'd have no trouble finding a new club. If he gets an injury in the next 2 years, or if his form drops off in the next 2 years, is he going to get a better offer than 400K from Liverpool for, like, an extra year with an option of another? I'm not sure he is. Because my issue here isn't so much the wages as the age. Like, what you don't want is to be forced to pay someone 400K when they're 34 if they're now crap. Like,
but that's, I mean, what I'm saying. That's a big if.
It's not a big if, Sam. It's not a big if. It's been true of 99% of wingers in football history.
Bale is fragile. Like, do you know what I mean? We're talking about
look at Hazard. Look at Hazard. Hazard's not fragile.
No, but once he got that recurring ankle injury, even in his latter years at Chelsea, like, you could see, like, those injuries were affecting him. But
Sam,
I think that
name
the move
some
plus the injuries is what's
still been world class.
I don't think Salah's going to go through something like that. To be honest, like, I think you lot are kind of underappreciating the impact that he has on that squad. If you take Salah out of the Liverpool squad, they've got what, Mane, Firmino, Jota up top, and then who else? You telling me that they're that threatening front three without Salah? They're literally not. Like,
yeah, but they're not. They're not a threatening front three if they've got 34-year-old Salah in that line either.
But that's my point. It's like, at a point they're going to now have to decide. It's either Mane or Salah. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think they've got to sell Firmino and Mane if they can.
Yeah. Yeah, and even at this point, if you sell both, you're still going to get money for a good amount of money for Mane. You'll get an all right price for Firmino as well. And if you now say, okay, Salah, we're going to go with you. We see you as the main man. We're going to build around you because of the impact that you are continuously having. It's not like he's showed signs of slowing down. And even if he did to any certain extent, it wouldn't be like extreme. Like, it wouldn't be like, oh, Salah's this. And people have been trying to say that over the years since he's been at Liverpool, oh, he's going to slow down. He's getting better with age. Like, he's getting better. So I don't know why.
Sam, come on. Getting better between the ages of like 26 and 29 is one thing, but he's not going to get better between the ages of 29 and 32 because that literally has never happened. Like, except in the case of Mikhail Antonio.
But then that's what I'm saying. You can say that even if he maintains that level or even just drops off a little bit, it's still going to be very good. It's still going to be good enough to keep Liverpool at that level. And I
think you're not just paying for those next 2 years. You've already got him committed to those next 2 years. His contract still runs for those next 2 years. What you're paying for, your 400k a week, is for the 3 years after that. Like, so we're not even talking about, like, will Salah still be good and worth having in the squad at 31? We're saying, how much are you willing to pay for Mo Salah's 32, 33, and 34-year-old seasons? And personally, for me, it's not 400k a week. Like, that is a lot of money. Like, so
What's the most you would give him then?
I'd just leave it for now. I'd just leave it and be like, you know what, like, if next summer you're still asking for this move and, like, we haven't been able to, like, drum you down to a lower fee, then, like, you're going to leave. Like, you're going to leave at 31. And I would be, like, perfectly happy to, like, think about doing that. Like, it's one of those things where this forward line has been absolutely amazing. But because they're all a really similar age, it's actually quite difficult to work out what you're going to do with them because you can't just make a decision for one. You've got to make a decision for all at once. And so if Liverpool said, we're going to keep Mo Salah, we're going to sign him up till 2026, we're going to pay him a massive wage, and we understand that he might deteriorate, but he is that guy. He brought us the Champions League. He brought us the league. We're going to do it. But we're going to have to sell Mane and Firmino. Like, now, I think that would be a sensible position, but I think you're assuming that, like, Liverpool fans would be totally fine with that. Whereas actually in the past, like, there's been a point where each one of that front three has been, like, the favourite of the fans at Liverpool, I think. I don't think that that's a much easier sell to say, right, we're going to get rid of Mane and Firmino so that we can keep Salah. And so that specifically so we can keep Salah beyond the age of 31. Like, I don't know. This to me is the kind of thing, because I am an Arsenal fan, but this is the kind of thing where, like, you see the fans clamour for it because they're like, he's an amazing player. He's amazing now. We can't let him leave. We can't let him leave. We'll get worse. We can't let him leave. And so they just demand the club does whatever they can to keep him. And then, like, 3 years later, they say, why has the team got worse? And you're like, because you've got this old man on the wing soaking up all your money.
No, I do agree with the fact that his current deal runs out when he's 31. They do have a bit of breathing space, but you just don't want the situation where it does turn a little bit toxic and you're seeing your player linked with so many teams while you're trying to challenge for the Premier League, while you're trying to challenge for the Champions League, because that's just not the energy you'd want. And we know how Klopp is. He's going to get annoyed in one of the presses and say, why are you still asking about Salah? Then it's going to get toxic and then it's just going to turn long. So that's what I'm saying. They need to sort it out sooner rather than later. And I think 400, it does sound like a lot, but with what he's done for the club. But yeah, it is a lot. But what he's done for the club and what they're trying to achieve going forward, they're trying to maintain this level at the top level. I think putting all your eggs in that basket, put that in that Salah basket, I don't think it's mad because of how good he is right now.
It sounds like a lot. It's such a funny thing to say about 400k a week. Like, between the three of us, I reckon it would probably take us, like 6 years to earn 400k?
Don't do that. Yeah, right
the
now.
The three of us.
Right now, but soon, when you've got your book and I've got my show and Henry's, you know, the producer for that show, we'll be on.
Is that right?
I love this magical future. This magical future where we've achieved our dreams, but Henry's your bitch. Like, no. All right, right. Okay, well, I think we've covered that. So let's move on to last thing, which is just like a little quick debate, though knowing this particular lineup of guests, I'm not sure that it will be a quick debate. I want to ask, who are the fourth best team in the league? Now, to me right now, it seems like there's a very clear two best. Like, Liverpool and Man City have been far and away better than everybody else in the league. Yeah. Chelsea have not been that impressive so far. They were pretty bad at the weekend, but I don't think that anybody can really have an objection to putting them in the top three. Like, they're obviously going to get better.
Bad at the weekend is a stretch. We had a bad 20 minutes. It wasn't bad.
Okay, those 20 minutes were bad enough that you should probably have lost the game. But anyway, like the attack isn't quite clicking yet. Like, yeah. But we kind of know with Tuchel that the defence has a path to be better. It was better than this last season. The attack has a path to be better. He's going to work out how Lukaku fits into this particular team. Like, this team is going to be good. So, but with that in mind, it's really hard then, I think, to nail down the fourth best. It should be Man United, but they're not good.
It's not.
It's not. It could be West Ham. And you know what? It could be Brentford. Like, Brentford have been so good early doors this season, man. I don't know what to...
I'm going to set my stool out and say it's West Ham at the moment.
I don't want to agree with Henry.
Get with it, Sam, because it's happening. West Ham, I don't know what it is. There's just something... To go to Everton and win 1-0 in that kind of boring manner they did, that for me was more impressive than any result almost this weekend, if that makes sense. To grind out sort of a solid away display. They're a team that know each other so well. And they're doing this with a Europa League campaign sort of juggle as well. I mean, the thing about West Ham, which makes me worried, is a few injuries could really derail this team. They basically got scot-free for the last 18 months. They haven't really had to deal with anything. I saw this week that Suchek went off with a knock. I'm like, shit, what is that going to do to West Ham United? Is it over? But there's something about them. And Antonio, I mean, I hate to like West Ham. I really do. I sort of find some of the toxicity at the stadium in previous years just relentless. But you can't help but kind of admire the pragmatism by which they're going about winning these games and picking up points at the moment. I really do think, like, everyone thought last season, oh wow, look at West Ham, went close, could have almost got Champions League. To come back and sort of continue, normally we see a team completely drop off at this point, and they haven't. If anything, they've got a little bit better. Some of their signings, Benrahma, Bowen, they seem to get better and better. Even Fornals, who I thought was actually rubbish for a long... I'm still not convinced he's amazing, but even Fornals is like popping up with goals and doing bits and bobs. And yeah, I just like Zouma getting in a new centre back. They even made Craig Dawson look incredible. And there's something about West Ham which I'm really into at the moment. And so yeah, for me, I look at the other teams here. Obviously, Tottenham are ahead of them. Tottenham, I feel like if they got up to speed, could be quite special. But I think, Pat, I remember you saying that they have an amazing squad, and they do actually. They've still got incredible players. West Ham at the moment are the best team, and I think that's how I feel about it at the moment. But whether or not it will stay that way, it could always change.
Yeah.
So have you got a counter argument?
No, unfortunately not. Like, I'd say the best team on paper is obviously United, but because Ole's in charge, we might never see the best of that United squad, because we've seen players like Sancho. Pogba's now getting stick for his performances. Bruno's not really up for it. I think Ronaldo's got the fewest presses in the league.
That stat that's come out of nowhere. That is just stat people digging around to find a reason to like.
No, but it is the reality.
No, there is video of it as well. Like, you can see the way teams just play around him.
Yeah, like, he doesn't press, bro. It's not. I'm not trying to dig him out. It's just what it is, isn't it? And the fact that they've got such a quality team. I think they were saying it on one of the shows around their game. Like, they were mentioning their forwards, and it just wasn't stopping. Like, they were like Rashford, Greenwood, Cavani, Ronaldo, and I was just like, these men actually have such a good team. I don't understand how they are that bad. I think, like Henry said, West Ham have gone beyond that point of people thinking that it's luck, innit. I think they genuinely have a good team. They've got a good keeper. If he stays injury free, he's probably one of a top keeper in the Premier League. Got that experience. Zouma was an amazing signing, like Henry said, and I'm kind of upset that he's gone. But I like the partnership that he's building with Ogbonna. I think Rice, a lot of people said that he wasn't going to be worth the price. They saw 80 mil around his name. Now he's bagging in Europa. Now he's really driving the team forward with those runs in the Premier League.
He's still not worth £80 million.
No, but it's not about that. It's the fact that he's good and he's going to get better. He's the captain of West Ham at what, 21? And he's the driving force behind. I wouldn't say it's solely down to him, but playing in that position and being so influential in European games, in the Premier League, on a consistent basis, needs to be talked about, bro. You got to praise, like, you can't not praise that. Even if you say he's not worth 80 million, you can say he is quality. He is a quality central midfielder, and he's definitely going to get a move away. If that doesn't happen, he's showed the right mentality to just keep on going with West Ham. Like Henry said as well, Bowen... I really liked Bowen when he first came in, and Benrahma's had that one season. Now he's like getting getting to grips with the Premier League, and Antonio, my guy, is just balling. He's just scoring goals. He's playing much more smarter than a lot of people, even in the FD chat, tried to give him credit for. I remember there was a time where I got a lot of stick for saying Antonio is hard. Like, I said that he's a very good footballer and he's good at what he does. It might not look as desirable, but what he's doing works for him, innit? And now he's the top goal scorer in the Premier League for West Ham. And he's doing things that I don't think we've seen that much of him in terms of like the assists and how he's trying to bring his other teammates into the game. So, yeah, I'll be surprised if they're not in and around that conversation by the end of the season. But like Henry said again, if they do get one big injury, it could just throw them off.
So can I just say, Sam, that like Henry said... Yeah, I'm enjoying that. Maybe, you know, keep up that kind of positive attitude and you can be a producer on my show one day.
I think I've got to agree with you two guys. Like, I think it probably is West Ham. Like, I mean, if there are a couple of things that Moyes missed when he was like at Everton back in the day, it was like an outstanding centre forward, an outstanding defensive midfielder. He was always kind of like stitching stuff together in the middle of the park, requiring his wingers to do a load of work, like getting a lot of production out of fullbacks like Leighton Baines and Seamus Coleman. And now he's got both of those things at West Ham, and it's really like brought the project to life. Like, I agree. I'm not sure that I don't think they will finish fourth. I'm not sure they'll even finish fifth, because I do think they're fragile. I do think Europa League will take its toll. You know, Antonio's great, but he isn't as robust as you would like, given how important he is for that side. Like, he always spends a portion of each season out injured. So I don't know, like, but I do think they're the best team right now. In the long term, like, look, Brentford are not going to finish up there. I think teams will work Brentford out a little bit. They've been able to play on the counter. They've been able to play very differently from how they played in the Championship doors this season. But they've been really good in the Premier League. Whereas in the Championship, they were really good. Like, they deserved to come up, but they weren't like one of the best sides the Championship has ever seen, which is what you'd expect, right? If they were going to come up to the Prem and suddenly be like contenders for the top four. So I think that will settle down a little bit, but really good players, really good coach. They're going to be top half, probably, barring some like really unfortunate injuries. I just don't think that they can sustain quite this level. As for United, I don't know.
They just need to keep Ole in that job, innit? Because...
Yeah, I know. I mean, but the thing is with Ole, like, they have been good with Ole at different points. Like, he's not an idiot. Like, he'll work out something that works at some point. But he's got nothing on top of that. Like, it's like when you guys had Lampard and you were kind of like, oh, Lampard, like, oh, he's actually really good. Like, no, he isn't. He's rubbish. Like, but he was like... It wasn't so much the issue that, like, oh, he can't manage at all. It was more that if this were a player, you'd replace him. You'd say this isn't good 100%. Enough.
Yeah.
And the same goes for Ollie, right? You know, if this were a player, you'd say, we can do better than this. Though that said, given what United's defensive midfield still looks like, maybe that isn't true.
But that's also a reason why you have to get onto Ole, because the reality is you had finances in the summer, and because you saw your neighbours trying to go for an ex-player, you decided to put that finance into him. And fair enough, like, you wanted to bring him back, he's going to do a lot for like social, your worth and all of this stuff. But the reality is, you look at your team, you needed a CDM. Everyone can see it. You don't even have to be a genius to see that. So the fact that you prioritised bringing Ronaldo
Joe can see that.
Ahead of, I don't know if Joe would say it though, but the fact that you brought in Ronaldo ahead of a CDM just shows that you're not really, like, you're not thinking as well as you should. And even when he talks after these matches, yeah, sometimes when I hear like Klopp, Pep, Tuchel, even Arteta and like some other managers like Moyes, when they're breaking down why they lose and certain things that they say, you can almost think, okay, cool, this guy really understands why he lost and he's going to try and find an issue to solve. But when Ole speaks, it's like he's speaking in like riddles and parables and that, like, and when Pogba came out and said that they don't even know what the problem is. They don't know what the issue is anymore. They don't know what's going on. We're making silly mistakes and we need to sort it out. It's just like, bro, it doesn't sound like there's anyone sure about what's going on. They're just conceding goals. They're not keeping leads. They're not scoring as much as they used to, even though they have more firepower. Like, it doesn't make sense with United. But like I said, I don't mind.
But they just extended, like, you know, some contracts of coaching staff, right? You know, it doesn't look like the kind of thing that you do just before you like sack the manager. It's a, I don't know, man. The Ronaldo thing, I think, was just so stupid, which I thought at the time and I still think it. Like, that's the signing you make when you are on, when you're like second in a 2-horse title race and you think that will push you over. It's not what you do when there's like a glaring hole in the center of the pitch and your team just doesn't really make sense. Like, it's so strange. And it's just like another guy who shoots all the time, which is all they've got. Like, I mean, like Greenwood is a promising young player, but Greenwood just shoots. That's all he does. Like, Cavani is a striker, fair enough. Like, Rashford is a winger who only really scores goals. Like, he doesn't create. He doesn't really even dribble that much. Like, they got so many guys who just, like, want to shoot all the time. And so they've got almost no balance in that team. Like, they don't really press. They don't drop deep. Like, I just don't really know what they are. And in Ollie's defense, I do think they'll get better. If he's still there, like, he always works something out and they go on a run at some stage. But
I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Liverpool. Like,
I don't know. The way Liverpool are playing, it would be a bit surprising. Liverpool have been the best side in the league.
But those are the type of games that you'd have like a ball over the top and then Rashford onto it. Like, you know what I mean? It's not, and then everything will just turn around and it'd be like, oh, maybe Ole does know what he's doing. Like, we've seen this happen consistently while Ole's been at United.
Yeah.
Someone's going to have to say in the board, if we've got this team now, this is going to be a wasted opportunity. We can't be paying these players what we're paying them and not be challenging and be like serious challengers for all of these trophies. Like, it shouldn't mean so much to get kicked out of the Carabao Cup because you're worried that your chances for winning the Premier League and the Champions League are so much slimmer. Do you know what I mean?
I think Pogba leaving in the summer could be a blessing in disguise.
Oh yeah,
I think it gives them an opportunity to sort out their wage structure and just figure out that midfield, because like being in that position of basically having to play Bruno and having to play Pogba and having to play Ronaldo and Sancho, like,
it's too much to do.
Even for like a Conte level manager, like, that is hard to figure out.
He would struggle. Yeah, 100%.
Well, no, he'd just bench everyone. Like, he doesn't care. All right, guys. I think we're going to call it a day there. Thanks very much for joining me today. Henry, do you have anything to plug before we say goodbye?
I really enjoyed your realistic Newcastle 11, actually. I don't think it's going to happen because they're going to get relegated, and this is all just
all
just a stupid pipe dream, and we're all just I'm excited to see the greatest ever. Maybe we should do Newcastle's Championship 11, like what their greatest Championship 11 could possibly do, because that's the realistic, you know. They're gonna have to get Dwight Gayle back up front and see what he can do. But yeah, go check that video out, it's actually quite interesting. And yeah, I think we've got a scout report coming out on like Barcelona youth products, looking at Gavi, stuff like that. So it's quite cool.
Cool. Thank you, Henry. How about you, Sam?
Personal on the Rocks podcast and socials. and Snapchat is there as usual. It's amazing right now, not going to lie. Some of the stories are very interesting. So if you haven't subscribed to that, and let me know what you think as well. Because I on Snapchat, we don't get feedback. There's no comment section. So I actually want people to shout me and tell me what they think of the show.
Oh, no.
What we could do and all that stuff. Do you know what I mean?
The only person in the world who wants there to be a comment section. All right. Well, thanks very much for that. And thanks to you, the viewers, even though it sounds like I don't want to hear your opinions. thanks for tuning in, whether it was on YouTube or on your favorite podcast app. And hopefully we'll see you next time. Thanks very much. Bye.